Good morning. Been a pleasure coming here, and also the first time I see the largest crowd here. Nice meeting you guys. As our brother rightly mentioned, I was to come here on the 1st of June. I was stricken with a peculiar disease. The problem is a disc. There is three of my disc in my vertebrae have herniated. After the MRI, it was told that I need to have surgery. My dear brother Rick graciously gave me the address of the doctor, one of the finest doctors I've ever met. Could have made a lot of money because I still work for the government, and the government would have paid him nicely. But then he suggested that wait for 2-3 months as you trust God. What a nice man. He started talking about spiritual things with me. I was able to even mention what I was planning to speak on the 1st of June. And then the Lord has practically healed me. I'm so very thankful to you that God willing, I'll be starting work on Tuesday after 4 months of sitting at home. Can you believe it? I've been active so many years. And I've had gracious people working in the government, people who had donated leave to me. And so I could sit at home and collect my pay. What a nice government working for. Well, anyway, it's a privilege once again to be here amidst you. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee. Thank Thee for the privilege of coming here after a long, long time. As always, it's good to preach Thy word in season or out of season. Encourage, edify others. Particularly, we thank for the young crowd here. The young people who are interested in the things of God, teaching the word of God. Encourage them that they may not feel they are failures in their lives, but we might know that we belong to Thee. We are more than conquerors, as the Bible tells us. Speak to us through Thy word this morning. We ask this in the most precious name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as we read Philippians chapter 3, at the outset it might appear, it's a total loss, this man. Apostle Paul, a man who had a PhD, and he was a great man. He had everything going for him. But when you see the list, we find that he had enormous problems as a Christian. And finally, remember where he writes this from. He is writing from the Mamertine prison, one of the worst prison in the whole world, still there in Rome, 16 miles from Rome. If you happen to go to Rome, they take you busloads of people. I was almost going there. I was in Europe last time. I wanted to go and see that my dear man was in prison. It's actually, the cell is situated on the river Tigris, and only there's a big hole there for human excretion. Apart from that, the cold was so terrible. That's why you will see in the second book of Timothy, Paul writes that please bring that cloak with you. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Have you read that before? Bring that cloak, because it was so cold there. And he never got out of the prison. He was taken out from Mamertine prison in Rome just to be beheaded. Was he a loser? We'll come to that at the end. But the man who said Christians are losers, anybody remembers who is the man? Pardon me? Ted Turner, you're right. One brother knows that. Ted Turner, CNN owner, billionaire. In fact, believe me, he gave $10 billion to the National Foundation for Food, Feeding the Poor. What a nice man. But yet, he was saying that he was a Christian. But then, when he was 10, his father committed suicide because there was no food at home for days together. They just drink water, eat some leaves or something like that. Can you believe that in America happened? And the man said, I lost all faith. It was a total failure. My father was a Christian going to church and all that. Here, God is allowing us to be starving in a country of plenty. I don't want to do anything with the Christians. Christians are biggest losers, and because his father committed suicide that particular day. And Ted Turner, as you know, he bought CNN. He's a multi-billionaire, as I mentioned that. He gave to the hungry. You'll be surprised. I work for the Department of Commerce, where we do a lot of analysis. 1 in 6 young children go hungry in America. Do you know that? 1 in 6. Amazing. So he has given $10 billion so that any hungry family should be fed through this money, through that foundation he has started. But as you read this, you might feel that Christians are losers, as this fellow said. Because many of the lives of Christians, we find that they are not people who are arguing. That has happened to me about 17 years ago in the company where I started. My boss came up and said, "Hey George, I need that project. You got that. I got an excellent account. I was in sales in those times, marketing. And this man wanted to take it. I couldn't say no because I am at his mercy for his job." This really happened. And he took credit instead of me. He took credit that, as in, he brought in that. And he said, "George, I will look after you. I will take care of you after that." And nothing happened. He never did anything for me. After a few years, he was out. But what I mean to say is, Christians, we don't fight back. People take credit from which we have done. We should have been promoted a long time ago, you might think. But others got promoted, others got things done because we don't work like them. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to keep his testimony. We don't want to be liars. We don't join with those groups of drunkards and so on and so forth during a Christmas party. So sometimes they tell us, "Hey, he's a loser. Don't call him." If somebody has told about you, it's a great thing. Christians are losers. That's what Ted Turner said. But I want to see from the life of few people today, are they really losers? People who know the Lord, people who respect God, people who give, admire and give glory and honor to the Lord, are they losers? First, turn with me the first example in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, we're reading from verse 2. "And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even Bethel, unto the place where he had tent had at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there for the first. The Abraham called the name of the Lord." In other words, whenever you talk about Abraham, there's a place of altar. He makes an altar and worship God now first. And Abraham also allowed Lot to come with him. What a great mistake. We see in verse 5, Lot also which went with Abraham. He was the cause for all kinds of problems as we read the book of these next few chapters. There were wars also. Abraham had to fight 5 different kings because of this man. And so many other problems in Lot's own life. But let's just see some small problems which came and how Abraham became a loser here. Verse 7, "There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell therein in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are all brethren. Is it not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plains of Jordan, that was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord," look at that, "like the land of Egypt as thou comest to Zoar." Now here, look at this, what a loser he is. He's the one who brought Lot. He could have said that, "I'm the boss here, you understand? Take it from me. Get out from here. Get to that place." He could have told him to get out of that place which appeared very, very dry and waterless. On the contrary, this Abraham, as the outside would think that is a loser, first gives him the opportunity. "Hey, you look around. You are the boss. Choose what you want." And this guy saw the plains of Jordan as the garden of God. In other words, everything appeared very pleasant there. Very pleasant. People who come by plane to Virginia, they said, everything is so fine here, always trees and trees. Here and there I see some houses as they first fly into America. And the plane comes to Dallas. People are surprised when America is so beautiful land. They must be going down to the Arizona and other places, then they will see. Well, there are also some dry places. But imagine, this man willing to sacrifice everything to this man, loser. Is he a real loser at the end? I want to see. We don't want to go into so many because I was told 12:30 is the time everybody is hungry. So let's rush. Verse 14. The Lord said unto Abram after the Lord was separated from him, lift now upon thy eyes. Look from the place where thou was northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest I will give thee, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall the seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and the breadth of it I will give thee unto thee. And Abraham removed his tent and came to dwell in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Look at the end of this man. The word Bible says, watch the man of God, a good man. The end of this man is peace. This is exactly what happened. Abraham gave the chance to let me be a loser. Let him take what he wants first, instead of telling him, ordering him, doing things. He gave him the chance. He chose what he wanted. We know the end thereof as we read the next few chapters. We have no time. But here, immediately, God tells Abraham, you will be blessed beyond whatever you are, even your imagination, in other words. So that's where we come. Christians are people who know the Lord. We don't have to see the beginning and things may appear very bitter. Things may feel like what Ted Turner said, that Christians are losers. We may be losing things. We are not like the other people. In fact, one of my neighbors was wondering, why you are sick like this? What's going on here? I said, these kind of things happen. It's not. Another brother even was thinking, is there anything to be corrected? There's nothing to be corrected. I love the Lord. I spent a lot of time with the Word of God and in prayer. Anybody who prayed with me, particularly Brother Tori also, and my dear friend, Brother Rick, always people prayed with me on the telephone. Some long prayers, I really enjoyed some short prayers, and yet they have been praying with me and encouraging me and guiding me. What a wonderful time these 4 months of studying, as the Word of God says in Psalm 23. He maketh you lie down in green pastures so that you look up, because I've always been on the run all these years. And God made me lie down and see His goodness. So coming back to our subject, Christians are not losers. This man appeared to be a loser, Abraham, but today we find that the Jews, the blessed people all over the world, they are some of the finest engineers, some of the finest scientists, and we have right here in America, anybody you talk to, most of the top doctors here in Washington are Jews. Can you believe that? How God has blessed them. So, he's not a loser. The next example I want to see, I have to rush looking at the time, Genesis 39. Here is another biggest loser, you might think that. At the outside, he might appear as a loser. He should have taken things easy. But not this man. Genesis chapter 39, loser number 2. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of Lot, in the master of the Egyptians. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his land. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him overseer of the house and that he had put in his hand. Here was Joseph. His brother sold him, and the Lord brought him. Look at that word, Lord. And the Lord was with Joseph. And then why? You might see that at the later stage, problems after problems come. Initially, it appears everything is going nice here. See what in verse 6. And Joseph's master left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. Such a big man working for Pharaoh. And yet, he gave everything to Joseph. A man who just came from the street practically. a slave. And look at this position. In verse 7 comes the temptation. And it came to pass after these things, his master's wife cast his eyes upon me and said, lie with me. Verse 9. What does Joseph reply here? There is none greater in this house, neither hath he kept back anything from me, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not in there. Quite a lot of young people here. Think about that very seriously. How can I do this wickedness against God? It's not, he's not saying that against body, body, against you, ma'am. He's thinking only about his God. Do we have that capacity to think? Why? We can see at the later stage that the man is totally in a serious condition here, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. We know the story, we can read later. Place where the king's prisoners were bound. One of the worst dungeons in Egypt. He is the biggest loser. The world today will tell you, hey, he's an idiot. Just take it easy. What happened? You are not going in for that, and you have to survive. Today the world thinks like that. Turn with me, keep your fingers here, and turn with me to Ephesians. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians. We are coming back to that portion. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Note that. That everyone should know how to possess his vessel and sanctification and in honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, as even the Gentiles do not God. Verse 7. For God has not called us to uncleanness, notice that, but to holiness. He therefore despiseth not man, but God. If you see this word, despise it, the special meaning of this word. It is the same word which we see in 1 Samuel, rather 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 10. When Nathan comes and talks to David, you have despised God. God has given you so many wives. So much blessings you have received from him. And yet you despised God and took Uriah's wife and murdered her husband. So, sword will not move away from his wife, his house. What happened? His son Ammon was killed. Then after that, his son, the eldest son, what's his name? Absalom was killed. His daughter was raped. There's so much problems came one after the other because he despised God. God doesn't like that. That is exact the word which is given to you and me as believers. When temptation comes, we don't take it lying low or take it easy. No. I confronted one young man, supposed to be a Christian. He was living with his girlfriend. I said, how can you do that? You call yourself Christian. No, everything happened. It's taken for granted. We have separate accounts and this thing, that. What is that? I'm not here to discuss all this. I'm asking you one question. Are you married? He calls me uncle. He said, uncle, it is just a piece of paper. I can go to the registry office tomorrow and get that paper. He says, we are married. It's a matter of paper. I said, it's not a paper. It's a principle. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, you and me. It's not a paper of the solemnization of wedding. It's a marriage certificate. You are married to her. Then you can live with her, not otherwise. It's called fornication. Verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also walked in love with us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and the sacrifice of God as a sweet smelling savor. What is the next verse says? But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as saints. Is it not strong enough? And many other verses, we have no time to go there. This is the thing. That's why my friend here, Joseph, he decided he would rather honor God. Him that honoreth me, I will honor. Him that despiseth me, 2 Samuel, chapter 30 and chapter 2 and verse 30 says, him that honoreth me, I will honor. Him that despiseth me would be lightly esteemed. You know what happened to Eli's sons on the same day? Therefore, remember, young people, when you have temptation, when you have problems and difficulty, any problem is different. God is always there to help you. And sometimes you may go through the problems and sickness. But this is despicable in the sight of God. Anyone despises God in this is done for. This man didn't do that. He says, how can I do this against God? That's exactly what he says here. What do we read in verse 9? How can I do this? Great wickedness. He says about fornication and sin against God. So, suffer. What happened? Verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him in his prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. You must say, what? Lord was with Joseph? Then why is he in the dungeon? He's the biggest loser. He could have got along with that. He could have been a big boss in that house. And he would have come up also. He might have given him a job with Pharaoh. Why did he do that? People would have condemned him. You're an idiot. Is he an idiot? No. Turn with me to 40. Chapter 40, 42 rather. We know the story. He was in jail for 2 years. And he had a dream, and he explained the dream to two people. And then what we see in verse 39, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for inasmuch as God hath shewed thee all these things, there is none so decreased and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And the Pharaoh took his ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, arrayed him with vestures of fine linen, and put gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And people cried before him, bowed the knee, and made him ruler over all the Egypt. What a blessing. Christian, he's not a loser. He decided to do that what is correct in the sight of God, in honoring God. He said, I will not defile myself with the thing of God. So what happened with the thing which is against God's purposes? And God honored him here. The third example I want to see, the man called David. He had his shortcomings, he had his failures, but I want you to see 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel. I want to show you all these various examples as to how we are not losers. At the end, we will always be gaining things. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. And it came to pass that David and his men came out of Ziklag. The third day, the Amalekites invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive and therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city. We are reading 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 3. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and daughters were taken captive. And David and the people were with him lifted up their voices and cried until they had no more tears to weep. Have you been in that situation? It's a terrible situation. David was a great man. He was a great warrior. Of course, he came out because Saul was after his blood, trying to kill him. But whom did he join? Turn with me. Keep your finger here. Turn to chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. A few pages back. Verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and his father and house heard it, they went there near him. And everyone that was in distress, notice that. And everyone that was in debt, they are losers. And everyone that was in discontent that gathered themselves unto him and became the captain. As your mother told me when you are young, hey, don't be going around with him, he's a loser. Always mothers correct people because they know a bunch of losers. If you are with a bunch of losers, you become a loser yourself in life. You want to study, you want to go and get a good job, not to be with losers. Now this man, he was with a bunch of losers, people who were in debt, very bad credit, and so on and so forth, and he became the captain over them. So what is their reaction when this kind of thing happens? Verse 6 of chapter 30. David was greatly distressed. It happened to him also, for the people spake of stoning him. because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. Naturally, when they lost the family, they wanted to kill the man, so-called captain, who led us to this position. So, when you are with a bunch of losers, this is what happened. At the end of your life, they hold a gun to your head. They want to stone him and kill him right now. But what we see the last portion here. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Do you encourage yourself when everything looks bleak? There's no hope at all. Things, maybe finances, maybe in the office problems, maybe the family some problems. You think that everything is gone. Are you to encourage yourself? Because in Psalm 66 we will see one word. They encourage themselves in the evil things. Who? The evil people. They encourage themselves in what to do their own. But the man of God here, he encourages himself in the word of God. The Bible doesn't explain what and words he is using. Maybe 2 years before that he had a similar occasion. In Psalm 34, when you go home, read that psalm, one of the finest psalms here. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and my praise shall be in his mouth. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my trouble. They looked at him, and they were never ashamed. Their faces were shining. And verse 19 says, Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Have you noticed that? Some years ago, as I was coming in a car, a man asked me for a lift. I've been always doing that for 26 years in America. I don't know. People told me, one day you'll have a gun to your head. My best thing is, when the man gets into the car, give him a track. Tell him about the Lord. I will always have, in all my coats, pockets in the car, also I have tracks. I'm just saying for the glory of God. So this man got into the car, and I spoke to him the gospel. He was not at all receptive. He said, he wanted me to drop him at Route 30 as he was getting down there and walking away. And when we go on 29 to Bethesda, I'm sorry, Columbia, I will know that. And after a long time, I stopped the car on the side and again told him, would you kindly accept the Lord Jesus Christ? You can read this letter. He said, hey man, I don't want all this. I want some money. Can you give me some money? I gave him a few dollars and told him, sir, when I came to this country, I came for a job here. My Bible says in Psalm 34, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they serve the Lord, shall not want of good things. I told him this psalm also. I told him, the young lions, you are one of the young lions, sir. You are a blessed American. You are born in this country, and you are asking me money. My privilege to give you the money. Take it. But money is not important except the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey man, since you say all this, I will consider. I never saw him, but sometimes when I pass that road on Route 29, I think of him and pray, Lord, have mercy on that man. Young lions do suffer and suffer hunger, but they trust in the Lord shall not want any good things. That's what David wrote. David must have encouraged in all these things himself. So is he a loser? He could have lost his head. What happened? Verse 18. Then he prays. Then verse 18 says, David recovered all that Amalekite had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And then verse 26, and David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoils to the elders of Judah, even to the friends, saying, behold, a present for you from the spoils of the enemies of the Lord. And look at the life of this man. Initially it might look that he's a loser. He was with a bunch of losers. He was 400 people trying to stone him and kill him. But he encourages himself with the things of God. He is not worried about what's going on. Do we encourage when we have problems, or we go down and call our friend, pick up the phone, pick up the cell phone, send an email? No. Sit down and pray. Spend time with the word of God. And ask God how he encourages you. When I was sick, I was reading a couple of things. One is in Psalm Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says, with his stripes we are healed. The word which I used to encourage people who are sick and go and visit. I was one of the very rare fellows in my assembly. I go and visit people in the hospitals. I always go, whether they like it or not. On the first day of the surgery, I'm there. One brother had a heart surgery. I was there sitting 8 hours, consoling his wife, of course. And also in Psalm 103, verse 3 says, He healeth all thy diseases. It is the Lord who heals the diseases, not the medication, not the surgery, not the hospital, their wonderful way they want, nurses work. No. He healeth. God heals our diseases. Very many sick, in James we read, call the elders and let them pray for you. Have you done that? Or you go completely berserk when problems come. Start encouraging yourself in the things of God. Our time is very fast going. And one more example, Daniel chapter 1, please. Daniel chapter 1. Here is another big loser essay type. It may appear at the outset. It may look that he is a big loser. Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem and took all the young people of princely life they had there. They took them away as captives. And he gave them the king's portion of wine, which is very, very expensive, kind of a good thing, rather. You can imagine what you eat in the White House or things like that compared to the soup kitchens or things like that. And it was given to him. But the only thing is, in Babylon, it was offered always to the idols. Bel is the king of Babylon. And it was the goddess above Babylon. It was offered to the idol, then only it will come to the king. So Daniel knew as a young boy that I should not touch this. He wanted to honor God. Verse 8 says, And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Purposed in his heart. That's what I'm here to tell you this morning. Purpose. It's not that when you go for the office party, everybody is drinking, or you just stand with an orange juice. The thing is, he's a loser. Man, this fellow doesn't want to do any of this. What? That is an opportunity to explain the gospel to him. To tell him why you know you are not drinking or getting drunk like the other people. Isn't it right? They may sometimes think, don't even invite him for the party. It's okay, it's a good certificate for you. God honors you when you do that. Purposing in your heart, not just for the show of others, but you need to purpose in your heart. That's what Daniel did. Daniel purposed in his heart, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Let's move on. Verse 20. In all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. They found them, that is Daniel and his friends, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in Israel. And Daniel continued unto the first year of the king's sight. That means almost 91 years. He came to Babylon when he was 17. It's a whole story. One of these days we can discuss how God has been so gracious. And because of God's people, when they are there in the right place, God blesses the land also and prospers them. Let's quickly see one word in chapter 10. The third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, thing was revealed. Chapter 6 rather. Chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole realm. And over these three presidents whom Daniel was first. Look at the honor he was given to. He was a loser. Anybody would have said, hey, you are a loser. King is ordering all this. King is giving you. Till yesterday you were a captive. You were a slave. And you have now come to the king's palace. He's giving you king's wine and meat. Just eat that and get along, man. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. Have you had temptations like this? Temptation of the flesh is very much all the time. Particularly in a land where we live, where everything is in plenty. When these kind of things present themselves to us, do we stand? Do we take a stand? No. I want to purpose in my heart. I will not do this. I will not defile myself. And I want to honor God. When he honors, what happens? Chapter 9. No time to turn there even. Read later. Daniel was only prophet. It was revealed unto me about Messiah. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26 said, tells about the 7 weeks and the 70 weeks which are going to occur. the future, what is going to happen, how the Lord Jesus Christ would come. It is not meant to be mentioned specifically for him, but you are the only person to whom it was revealed about the future. What a great God we have, and we honor him. And let's come back to quickly what we read this morning. What was his problem? It appears that he is a loser, definitely. He was a man who had a PhD, Philippians chapter 3. He had a PhD, he had all the things going for him. He was also persecuting Christians. And what happened finally? He decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared to him on the way to Damascus. And what happened after that? It was problem after problem. See, 2 Corinthians, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for example. Please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are they ministers of Christ? Verse 23. I am more, in the labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, and in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Who? Apostle Paul. The man who had everything going for him is becoming the biggest loser here. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Have you been beaten with a rod by anybody? No. Nobody has held a gun to your head for being Christian. But he was. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I had been in the deep, journeying often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, and in perils of the city, in perils of wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, watching often in hunger and thirst and fasting. When you read all this, what happened? He said, loose. What do we read in Philippians? Nay, yet doubtless I count all these things but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered all things, but I do count them as dung that I may win Christ. That ought to be the motivation for you and for me. You may have problems and difficulties. We do not have any of these problems which Apostle Paul is talking about. We have not even experienced, this is the country where blessed things. Sometimes, occasionally people tear up the tracks in front of you. That's all the problem that I have had. As I was telling you, my dear friend Paul and me and Bill Price, we used to go to Washington. Often people take that and just tear it up and throw it in front of you. That's not an insult. Praise God for that and check the next man whether he will receive the tract. So what a privileged people we are. Whereas this, look at this man's life. He says, all this is worth because of the excellency and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. We're closing almost. Give me another 2 minutes. 2 Timothy rather. Chapter 4. And verse 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all them that appear. So don't ever think that Christians are losers. Ted Turner must be a real fool. I sometimes pray for that man. Lord, the man all over the world and through the television that he had, in his own station, CNN, he mentioned Christians are losers. I've seen it time and again. They are the biggest losers. They don't fight for their right. They don't fight for their promotion. They don't fight for anything. You can just walk over them. No. What does it say? Lastly, Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter, I want you to turn to this and look at this. What are the Christians? Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time, if we have any sufferings, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Let me read it again. I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then go on to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine? I wish Turner had read this. Famine, He had no food, committed suicide. His father committed suicide because he couldn't feed family of six or something. That's why he lost his faith, he said. He had faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what he claimed. And nakedness and peril and sword, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. So are Christian losers? No, they're never losers. You might have a problem or two here and there. You might have sickness. You might be having more sickness than your neighbor. Maybe thinking you was a Christian and picking up the Bible and going every Sunday and whatsoever. Even now, though I've been sick, people have been coming picking me up. I go to church and my dear friend Andrew picked me up this morning to drive here all the way. I can drive occasionally, but I have inconveniences. But it's a joy to go and listen to the word of God. Sometimes I stand in the back of the church because I can't sit for a long time. But what a joy it was. Even during my all sicknesses, it has been a joy to go. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Go home and read Hebrews chapter 11. It talks of the heroes of faith. People who loved God and yet have gone through so many problems and difficulties. Even in India today, people are getting beaten up because they are handing over tracts, they are doing service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, they are more than conquerors, that's what the Bible says. So Christians are never losers, but they are always people who gain. Now I would ask David to kindly close in prayer. David, would you?
Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that we have to look at your word. Thank you in some way for the freedom that we have to study your word, that we haven't had guns put to our heads to be able to study. But we do thank you for the examples that you've shown us of our fellow believers who do have to endure such persecution. And we thank you for these things and prove that we are about to enjoy as well as we endure some of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Go and read these references when you go back home. Whenever you get dejected, read Romans chapter 8. And that will explain how God has blessed us and is blessing us. Thank you.